Now we come today to our 19th message in this series, Preaching from Titus. If you have your Bible, I'd like you to follow along with me in this message. I think it'd be very helpful for you, especially the nature of this message I'm going to preach today. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11. Titus 2 and verse number 11 will be our text verse for the message today. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Let's read that again. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Father, would you help me? If you've never helped me today, I need you today. I confess every sin. Help me in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to preach a very important message today, and I'd like for you to give me your undivided attention with it. And I want to preach on this subject today, "For whosoever will." For whosoever will. Looking at our text verse today, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." To all men. Did you know that everybody on earth that has ever been born has had a chance to be saved or come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Even in the Old Testament, you say, "Well, preacher, how did they get saved in the Old Testament?" The same way we do in the New Testament, by believing and by the grace of God. Although it was not the dispensation of grace, yet they got saved through God's grace, His unmerited favor and love toward mankind. Now, you see, even in the Bible, by way of introduction, let me read to you Psalm 19, and let me read the first three verses of Psalm 19. The Bible said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth His handiwork." Verse number 2 says, "Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge." Verse number 3 says, "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Now, what that means is this. In the darkest jungles, if a man seeks the truth, God will be there to reveal Himself. When a man seeks light, God will give him light. I heard about a man who did not know. He was mixed up and he didn't know which religion was right. But he said, "God, if you're up there and you're real, send somebody to show me the truth." And a fundamental Bible-believing preacher won him to Jesus Christ. It will not take God long to send you light when you ask for it and when you seek for it. Now, I believe in the preaching of the Word of God. I believe that people are saved by preaching. But I believe in the jungles of Africa, if a man looks up and knows there's a God and you don't know anything else, I believe God will reveal light to him according to these verses. Now, in our text verse, it said, "The grace of God hath appeared to all men." Sadly, today, there is doctrine that is being preached, and it is creeping into the fundamental church, and I think somebody ought to say something about it, that there's only a select few that can go to heaven and a select few to go to hell. Let me say, you will not find any verses in the King James Bible to back that doctrine up. Now, you may take some verses out of context, but you will not find any verses to back that up. Now, I'm going to get into the message today, and I've got a lot to say. Let me say that I'm not debating anybody on what I'm preaching. I just preach the Word of God, and then I'll go on to the next message. Now, first of all, I want to show you that God is sovereign. Absolutely, God knows everything that has been, God knows everything that He is, and God knows everything that will be. God did not start in Genesis 1:1. That's where God started man's knowledge, but God has always been. There's never been a time that God has not been. So God knows exactly what a man will do before he does it. But God allows that man to make a choice. Now, God is sovereign. Isaiah 45, verse number 5, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me." God said, there's no God besides me. In other words, there's no God. Now, you may say to me, "Preacher, I don't believe in God." Well, that don't change God, not one bit. Amen. God loves all men, and God wants men to be saved. And we'll see that later. But God is sovereign. You must believe there's a sovereign God in heaven that knows everything. Now, the word election, the word predestination in the Bible, neither of those words scare me. For I have been elected by God as far as after I was saved, I became God's elect. After I'm saved, I was predestinated for heaven. Amen. Now, before I was saved, God gave me a choice. And I'll prove that to you in the scriptures a little bit later. Now, number one, God is sovereign. You must believe there's a sovereign God. We must believe there's a God that knows all things. And I'm going to say this to you. There are verses in the Bible that I do not understand. May I say to you that there are verses in the Bible that you do not understand. May I say this to you, there are verses in the Bible that you probably will never understand. May I say to you, there are verses in the Bible that I probably will never understand. Amen. So I would be leery of any man that says, I understand every verse in the Bible. I'd be leery of that. I used to say, well, there's no verse in the Bible that you can't understand, and that's true. But there are things in the Bible that God put there and gave us limited information about. And let me say this to you, where the Bible is silent, we ought to be. I'll say that again, where the Bible is silent, we need to be. Amen. Now, we're going to get into some hard verses here and some deep verses, but I believe God will give us grace to get through them. Now, number two, I want to show you this. Jesus died for all men. Jesus died. Now, this will come up later again in the message at another point. But Jesus died for all men. Remember, keep in mind our text verse, our thought, for whosoever will. Now, John, the great disciple, John, that wrote five books of the Bible, heard John the Baptist speak these words one day. As they were walking along, John, well, let me give you this verse first before I give you that one. Let me give you this one first. The devil's trying to get me ahead of myself. Let me give you this. John 3:16, let me give you that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'll get to that other verse later. But let me talk to you. For God so loved who? The world. That word literally means the inhabitants of the earth. God loved every man that had already been born. God loved every man that was not yet born. God saw down through time every man that would ever be born, and God loved mankind. For God so loved the world. Not that God loved a few, not that God chose a few. God loved everybody. Can you imagine that? Now, the Bible does not contradict itself. Now, we're going to get into one verse here in just a few minutes where God hated somebody. And we're going to talk about that. There is a time, if you do not accept God, that God's love will be hate. You see, we today think we have a very misconception about love. We even do it in our homes. Mom and daddies have a 40-year-old son wouldn't work in the pie factory in the tasting department. And they keep him at home and keep his bills paid because they say they love him. You're doing him a disservice. My mama did me a disservice. I love her. She's in heaven. I thank God for her. She prayed for me. But she did me a disservice by telling me that I didn't have to work and all that kind of thing. And she did me a disservice. And I say that now as I look back on life. I love my mom. But I'm saying this to you, friend, that we have a misconception about love sometimes. Oh, God's all love. He don't ever get angry. Well, you better read your Bible. The Bible said that God is angry with the wicked every day. Amen. Now, let me show you this verse, our text verse again, Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Now, God's grace brings salvation. It's nothing good that you do, but it's God's grace hath appeared, the Bible said, to all men. The grace of God hath appeared to all men. Amen. God just didn't appear to a few men, but all men. The grace of God is for everybody that ever lived. Everybody has a chance to be saved. Many people will choose not to be saved. All through the Bible, you have a choice. A principle was laid down in Genesis chapter number 4, and I'm studying that for another place right now, another ministry that I do, in my Sunday school, I put it that way, amen, another part of my ministry that I do here, not a separate ministry, but I study that, and we're studying Genesis 4, but now here's the thing about that. As I study Genesis 4, Cain and Abel had choices. Cain saw that it took a blood sacrifice. Cain knew that it took a blood sacrifice. Cain, no doubt, had seen Adam offer offerings for sin. And yet, my friend, Abel had seen the same thing. And Abel believed God. Cain did not. Cain made that choice, and God even gave him a second chance. If thou doest well, shalt thou not also be accepted? And Cain did not do well. Now, amen. That's right. And so we see again, Jesus died for everybody. Now, let me say that there's a doctrine today going around that God's elected this crowd to go to heaven and that crowd to go to hell, and there's nothing you can do about it. Now, I want to get to, and I will come to some other verses later that I've already mentioned. I will come to some later, but I want to get to the real argument of that problem. I want to get to the real argument. I'm not debating anybody. I'm not taking anybody on. I'm not on the radio taking shots at people. I'm preaching to you what the Bible says about for whosoever will. I want to look at you where the real argument lies in that argument. I want to show you, especially in the Baptist church. We have Baptist preachers, and that's what I am. We have Baptist preachers that have went away from the faith of what they used to believe, and now they do not believe whosoever will. Amen. All right. It boils down to this. Amen. It boils down to the real argument is, if you believe that there are a certain crowd elected for heaven and a certain crowd elected for hell, it boils down to this, that you just don't want to be a soul winner. It's easier to believe that a certain part of man was chose to go to heaven and a certain part was to go to hell. Because if you believe that, then you don't have to spend your time witnessing for God. The hardest thing that I'll ever do, the hardest thing you'll ever do in life, in your Christian life, is witness to somebody else about Jesus Christ. That's the hardest thing you'll ever do. It's hard. That's why God said we're to be filled with the Spirit and we're to be bold when we do it. And I want to give you some verses. I want you to look with me in Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 22. I want you to look at verse number 17. This is the message of the church. The Bible said, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come." Now let's stop right there. And we'll deal with this a little bit later as we go. And I feel like I'm repeating myself, but the Holy Spirit is what tells sinners to come to Jesus Christ. Even in this hour and in this day which we live in, you say, "Preacher, we're not seeing as many people saved in this day as we did 100 years ago. Let me tell you why. We're not spending as much time fasting and praying, and we've let the spirit world of the demons take over and the devils, and they have more preeminence than God's people do, and they have more power than God's people do. And God's people are equipped with power. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above that you think or ask, according to the power that worketh in you." The power of God can do exceeding abundantly. It can defeat. You remember that boy, the little boy in the book of Matthew? And the disciples came, they tried to heal the little boy. The devil, the demon in him, was cast him in the fire, cast him in the water. And the disciples could not heal him, and they brought him to Christ. And the man said, "We brought him to your disciples," said they couldn't do anything, said, "Can you?" And Jesus basically told him, not adding the Bible, but it wasn't up to whether he could do anything, it's whether they could believe. He said, "If you can believe, all things are possible." And the man said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And I'm not quoting it word for word. I hope you understand that. But the Bible said that the disciples came to Jesus and asked him the question, "Why couldn't we cast the devil out?" And he said, "This kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting." And brother, today we're not praying and we're not fasting, but the bride and the Spirit say, "Come." I'm going to deal with these one time. The Spirit is today is still saying, "Come." The Holy Ghost is still saying to sinners today, "Come." And the Holy Ghost will work where he's welcome. In the churches where he is welcomed, and he's not quenched and he's not put outside for entertainment. And where he is welcomed, I was in a church the other day. And the pastor got up in the service, and I liked this. Now, it would upset some of you, but I liked it. And he said, he started praying. He said, "I want to welcome you, Holy Ghost, into this service." Now, that upset some people. It don't upset me. Amen. Listen, I want God to work. I want God to deal with sinners. It is time that we stop trying to recruit sinners and let the Lord Jesus Christ birth them into the family of God. And the Spirit says, "Come." All right, the bride say, "Come." He said that. He said in Revelation, I'm in Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come." Now, wait a minute. Who's the bride? The church is the bride of Christ. And God said our message today is come, come, come. Now, wait a minute. My message is not, well, some people can go to heaven, some can go to hell, so just a certain few can come. No. My message is not the rich people can come, but the poor can't. No. My message is not just the Jewish race or the white race or the any other race can come. No, it's all races. God's not a racist God. All races can come to God. You see, in the Old Testament, Gentiles were counted as dogs. You remember that woman in the Gospels that came to the Lord? And he said, is it meat to give the masters the meat to dogs? She said, true, Lord. But she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Glory to God, we got a crumb. Amen. We're Gentile dogs, but we got in. Amen. And so our message today has come. Now, the reason that a lot of these fellas believe in this limited atonement stuff, and then they believe that a certain few is going to heaven, a certain few is going to hell, is because they don't allow the Spirit in their churches to say come. And they don't allow the bride to say come, and therefore they do not believe in winning people to God. Let me say, the greatest need of our churches, now you may disagree with me, I'm all for missions. So let me say that first of all. I'm for missions. I'm for sending people to the mission field. I'm for that. I give money every month to my church to send missionaries to the mission field. But I will tell you something. The greatest need of the hour is for us to begin again to do what they did 50 years ago when they won my mama to the Lord and began winning people to Jesus Christ again in the local community. Somehow we have decided that the local community is not worth winning anymore. We've decided the day is hard and the times are rough and we just can't get people saved. Preacher, wait a minute. No, you can't get them. But let the Spirit say come. Let the bride say come. The message from your church ought not be to come to some event or to some gimmick, or to some trick. I don't mind saying that. I'm against that stuff. I'll just be honest, I'm against it, friend. And the more I preach, the more I get against it. Amen. I believe we have raised a generation on gimmicks and entertainment. And brother, the bride ought to be saying, come to Christ. Come to Christ. I sat down the other day with a person in my office, or in another section of our building. Me and my wife sat down with a person the other day. And they said to me, this person is not a teenager. This person is an adult. And they said to me, nobody's ever told me how to go to heaven. My friend, listen, there are people down your street. There are people in your neighborhood. There are people you work with. There are people you do business with. And they're waiting on the bride to say come, for whosoever will. They're out there everywhere. You ought to go get them. No matter what you believe, no matter what you've been taught. Listen, no matter what label you're afraid somebody will put on it. Wait a minute, I'm going to say this to you. I'm against people believing with the head and not with the heart. I want you to understand that. I'm against that. I believe that you ought to believe with the heart. It's the only way you're going to get to heaven. But brother, we are not winning people like we used to. We got to realize the plumber's lost. The banker's lost. The mail carrier's lost. The doctor's lost. The insurance salesman is lost. Now, I'm not saying all of them are lost. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we must take everybody and witness to them and get the gospel to them. And listen, handing out a tract's good. But I want to say this, handing out a tract does not take our place from witnessing. Handing out a tract is good, but it will never do verbally what your voice will do. Now, don't go away and say Brother Cotter's against handing out tracts. I never said that. I never said that at all. But people say we hand out this many tracts. That's wonderful. But how many people have you told about Jesus Christ? Let the bride say come. Let the church say it. Let us say come. Not let us put it on a piece of paper. Now, it's good to hand tracts out again, and that's part of saying come. Handing tracts out is part of the church saying come. You should have a tract ministry. You should have one. You should have one. I want to emphasize that again. You ought to have one. But what I'm saying to you is the bride, the church, let us say come. Now, let's read this verse. The Bible said, and the Spirit and the bride say come. The Bible said, and let him that heareth say come. That's the new convert. The man that just gets saved, let him say come. The Bible said, and let him that is athirst come. In other words, if you're thirsting for something different and you want something different, you ought to come. The Bible said, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Salvation don't cost you anything, friend. Salvation doesn't cost. Let you come. Whosoever will, let him come. Anybody. That's what the Bible said. Now, I'm not arguing religion with anybody. Religion will kill you. Salvation will take you to heaven. I'm not debating anything with anybody. Amen. Because I'm not a debater. I'm a preacher. But here's the deal. This Bible says, for whosoever will. This Bible says, man, woman, boy, and girl can be saved. Rich, poor. Amen. Black, white. Amen. Any other race. This Bible says a man can be saved. Amen. If he comes to God. And so we ought to preach that. And I think the argument for a lot of this stuff that is going around today is that people, our Baptists, don't want to win people to God. We're comfortable sitting in our four walls with our money, our bank accounts, and our nice buildings, and we come for a little session on Sunday morning, play golf on Sunday afternoon, rest on Sunday night, go back to work on Monday, go to the prayer meeting on Wednesday night for some little session, and listen, brother, it's time we junked our sessions and start having some preaching again. Amen. And I'm for churches having Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night services, getting back where we used to be, and preaching and proclaiming, and even more. The Bible said, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. But I think it boils down to we don't want to be soul winners. Proverbs chapter number 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. My mind goes back now 50 years ago. I'm an older preacher now. I'm coming down the last legs of the ministry. Now, if I'm going to do anything, I'll have to get it done now. In these next years, I don't have as many years left as I did, I don't think. I'm closing on 41 years in the ministry of preaching the Word of God. Many of you, I have been on the radio day after day after day for years. You've heard our broadcast, and I thank God for it. And I want to do the rest of my life all I can to work for God. And I mean that, and I love you, and I want the love that I have for you to be emphasized in every message that I preach. I want you to know that I love you. But as we come down now to the end of the journey, I think back 50 years ago. I think back to a little boy who was in a little farmhouse in Rhonda, North Carolina, on Macedonia Church Road. I think about that little boy who was raised in a drunkard's home. I think about that little boy who bet on car racing when he was 8 years old and won those drunkard's money. I think about a little boy who was drinking his daddy's beer at 6 and 7 and 8 years old. I think about that, friend. And I think about all I knew was cussing and fighting and drinking. I think about that. And my friend, I think about the times those men from the Maple Springs Baptist Church came to our little home. And they tried to get my daddy to go to church, and he wouldn't do it. And he said, I have no shoes. They gave him $20 to go buy shoes. And in that day in 1975, $20 would have bought you a nice pair of shoes. Daddy took that money and bought more beer with it. But I think about the night those men came from the Maple Springs Baptist Church. A little after 9 o'clock in the evening, I think it was in a September evening of 1975 on a Thursday. And my mama knelt down in the living room of Ed Helms' old farmhouse and received Jesus Christ as her Savior. Let me tell you, that night it was for whosoever will. My mama wasn't chose to go to heaven, and she wasn't chose to go to hell. She had a choice laying before her. Those men came, they'd been talking to my daddy, but that night my mama came home, and those men began talking to her. There was a choice laid before my mama that night, and my mama chose Jesus Christ. From that moment on, my mama got in church. From that moment on, my mama began taking two little boys to church. It would go to sleep on one end of her lap and the other one on the other end of her lap. But I heard enough preaching to save the world. My friend, God did not choose me to go to heaven before I was born. God knew I would go to heaven before I was born because He's sovereign. But my friend, the night of January 22nd, 1978, the bride said, come. The Spirit said, come. And I was invited to Jesus Christ, and I came. Matthew says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Revelation here, he says, come. Amen. If you're athirst, amen. Boy, there's plenty of you out there, you're athirst. Amen. I want to read the verse again. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come. Let him take the water of life freely. You may be an old drunk. You may be an old harlot. You may be on dope. You may be homeless. But God said to come. God said, believe in Jesus Christ and trust Him with all your heart, not your head, but your heart. Come to Him and get saved. There's no other way to believe in the Bible but a for whosoever will gospel. For whosoever will. Anybody can be saved. Amen. Now you say, preacher, what about that man that God's given up on? There is a time. God's time is over. But I have no authority to say anything about that. I don't know when that is, and you don't know when it is. You better leave those things to God. Us preachers need to preach the Bible, not try to run heaven. Amen. I've been guilty of that, ain't you? I've tried to run heaven. Ain't none of my business what God's laid down. Now, let me say this. The argument is that the reason people believe in this limited atonement stuff is because they don't want a soul win. They don't want a witness. They don't want to talk. Now, I believe in the church. You know how the church says come through its bus ministry, through its track ministry, through its witnessing. Amen. The church, the bride, is saying come. And thank God in this hour, we've still got some radio stations that are saying come. We've got some missionaries that are saying come. We've got some pastors that are saying come. We've got some churches that are saying come. We've got some men handing out tracts that say come. A man in our church the other day took it upon himself to hand out hundreds of gospel tracts and get the gospel out to people that might otherwise wouldn't have got it. You know what he was doing? He was saying come. Come, come anybody. He didn't go down through there and say, well, I better pray to God and find out if Susan's selected to go to heaven before I give her a tract. No, he didn't do that. He gave them out to everybody. Thank God that he did. Amen. Thank God that those men from Maple Springs Baptist Church in 1975 didn't knock on the door and said, well, I don't know if y'all selected to go to heaven or not. I don't know if I ought to witness to you or not. Let me tell you again, the whole argument is they don't want to win souls. Amen. The Bible said in Proverbs 11:30, again, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, number four, I want to give you on this doctrine of for whosoever will. For whosoever will. Let me tell you again, it is anybody. You might be in the prison walls. You can be saved. You might be in the prison for murder. I've had murderers listen to me on the radio. I know. Amen. I'm sure. Amen. And I've probably had rapists and drug dealers and everything else listening to me on the radio. I cover a lot of area. But I want you to know, Mr. Drug Dealer, God can get you out of what you're in today. I want you to know, ma'am, you're in the mire, you're in the gutter, but God can deliver you. God's better than the needle. God's better than the high. God's better than the sexual immorality. God is good for whosoever will. You say, preacher, I'm not worthy of heaven. You're exactly right. Nobody is. But I'll tell you one thing, Jesus can lift you out. He said, he that is athirst, the bride still saying come. You know, every church that gives radio, gives money to this radio ministry, they're helping me all over America say come, come, come to Jesus Christ. They're helping me say come today. Amen. Now, I want to give you number four. I want to give you, when we get to this doctrine for whosoever will, I'm going to give you some verses that are taken out of context. These are hard verses to understand. And I'll try my best to just explain with the limited knowledge that I have without debating the verses. I'm not going to do that. But I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, if you would, please. Romans chapter number 9, and I'm going to begin at verse number 11. Now, he's talking about Jacob and Esau here. The Bible said, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. In other words, God said, I'm going to fix Jacob and Esau the way I want them. And he did. Now, God knew what choice they would make. And God said, I'm going to let them make that choice to fulfill my plan. That word election does not bother me. If God's a sovereign God, God can have things the way he wants it. Amen. Now, let me pick up in verse number 12. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Romans 9:13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Romans 9:14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. God forbid. Now listen. There's a time, and by the way, I'm going to show you in the Bible in just a moment, where God did give Esau a chance to be saved. He did. But God, through his sovereign will, knew that Esau would be different. And it goes a little bit deeper than that. I'm going to show you something in just a minute. It goes a little bit deeper than Jacob and Esau. They were two twins, and they had the blessing. They had the birthright promised to them from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Isaac, Abraham and Isaac. Now we come down to Jacob, and we'll see how Jacob got that birthright. Now, here's the deal. God had in his mind that the younger would serve the elder. Now, let me show you. I want to show you Genesis 25 and verse number 23. The twins began to struggle in Rebekah's womb, and Rebekah sought God to find out what was going on. In verse number 23, the Bible said, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Here it is. This has to do with Israel. This is a deeper meaning than just Jacob and Esau. It has to do with the nation of Israel. God said there's going to be two manner of nations in thee. Now, God raised Jacob up. That's the children of Israel. He loved them. God hated Esau, the enemies of Israel. Now, also, I believe that is the particular people. Esau was a fornicator. Esau had nothing to do with God. Matter of fact, Esau said he despised God. That's what he said in the Bible. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute. But maybe not that verse, but I'm going to show you another verse. But here's the deal. Esau was not God's chosen nation. Jacob would be. Now, Jacob was a trickster. As a matter of fact, his name meant supplanter. If you remember, when Jacob wrestled with the Lord asked him, "What is thy name?" You see, the Lord made Jacob admit that his name was Jacob, or supplanter. The Lord said, "What is thy name?" He's trying to get power for the Lord, and Jacob said, "Supplanter." He had to admit that's what the word Jacob meant. And God made him confess it. Now, I don't know why God would have liked Jacob more than did Esau, but he did. Amen. Now, let me give you Esau's chance to be saved. Do you remember that Jacob cooked lentils, red lentils, and beans? I believe it's beans. And so he's cooking this, and Jacob comes in, he's hungry. And Esau comes in, and he's hungry. The devil's trying to trip him up, and Jacob is a trickster. Now, Jacob's going to trick him here out of his birthright. Now here, Jacob took it in his own hand to do that. He didn't have to do it, but God allowed that to happen because it was God's will that it happened that way. Genesis 25:32. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point of death. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Now, in another verse, and I'm not going to read the verse, but he said that Esau despised his birthright. Esau traded that birthright for a bowl of lentils, a bowl of whatever Jacob was cooking. Now, wait a minute. Esau, in trading that birthright, there were two things about that. There was the double, one fellow put it like this, the double portion of a blessing. He said that the man that held that birthright was supposed to get a double portion of the inheritance. And then he said the divine prince. It had to do with Jesus Christ being Israel's Messiah. And what Esau was doing for that bowl of whatever it was that Jacob was cooking, he traded Jesus Christ for that bowl of food. You see, he didn't have to do that. But you see, Jacob tricked him. He tricked him out of his birthright. When Esau said no to his birthright, and he stuck the spoon in that bowl of beans or whatever it was, you see, he traded that bowl of beans for Jesus Christ. He said no to God. God is not unjust. God is not unrighteous. No, sir. Now, I realize in the book of Romans it said that it was not of works that they had done. It was the sovereign will of God. God knew what would happen from the beginning. God made them that way. Amen. But God also, being just, gave Esau a chance to be saved, knowing that Esau would not take that chance to be saved. Now, so we go forward. We see. Now, Esau despised that. All right. Now, let me say this to you. There again. For whosoever will. What is our text verse? Salvation hath appeared unto all men. And by the way, I deal with this, and I felt like I need to deal with this, and I felt like God wanted me to say some things about this today. I know this is an unusual subject for me. It's a hard subject for me to preach on. But this is sweeping the country. And I tell you, it's getting into our fundamental Baptist churches, and we'd better say something about it. And I'm going to say something about it. I know I run the risk today of offending people. I know I run the risk of making folk mad. But I want to say this to you. My purpose is never to make people mad. My purpose is to help you. I'm going to close this message with something that some of you preachers, I'm probably going to give you the shivers. Amen. You're probably going to shake when I say this. But I'm going to close the message with point number 5. And I'm not here to shoot anybody, to call anybody by name. I'm not here to pick a fight. I'm not here to do that. But I want to deal with what is known as tulip theology. T-U-L-I-P. I'm going to deal with that. Amen. The tulip theology. I'm going to deal with that. I want to deal with it. Right? I think somebody ought to deal with it. I'm going to deal with that. Amen. Well, you say, well, preacher, what is tulip theology? Well, there is a crowd that teaches the total depravity of man. Well, first of all, we know that man is depraved. We know that man is a sinner. But let's look at Titus 2:11, our text verse. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God has given every man a way out. Every man that's ever been born, God's given him a way to go to heaven. God would not be just if he didn't. God is a just God. God is not a mean God sitting up in heaven with a great big stick wanting everybody to go to hell. I'll admit that man's no good. A man's a sinner. Man ought to go to hell. But God's grace, amen, keeps man from hell. If you accept, boy, there were some pretty wicked people in the Bible. Especially in the Gospels, there were some people in the Gospels, amen, that were wicked people. God, think about that woman caught in adultery. Think about her. Now, it took two to commit adultery, right? Sure did, right? It took two to commit adultery, but here's the deal. Where's the man? He got off. And under the Mosaical law, the man and the woman were to be stoned. All right? But they just brought the woman to Jesus in her shame. No doubt they brought her in her shame to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, well, you know, what do you say about this? Jesus stooped down and wrote on the sand. I've heard people speculate. I don't know what he wrote on the sand. You don't either. But whatever he wrote on the sand, it showed those people. And by the way, get this. The Bible said they went out from the eldest to the youngest. There was a certain order that they went out there. And the man, and then Jesus looked at the woman and said, where are thine accusers? Now this is what she said, I have none, Lord. When she called him Lord, she got saved right there. When she realized he was the Lord, she called him the Christ. She recognized he was the Son of God, and God reached down for a woman that somebody would say, oh, she's predestined to go to hell. There's no way in the world she can get saved. No, friend, God's grace reached her. God reaches everybody. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Remember that woman at the well? She is a Samaritan. Nobody liked the Samaritans. The Jews didn't like them. The Gentiles didn't like them. And that woman said, she said, I have nothing to draw with. He said, I can give you living water. And boy, she said, give me that living water. Amen. And she went and told the men of the city, and nobody liked her, and all the women probably, you know why she told the men? Because the women didn't have nothing to do with her. Because she's probably chasing all their husbands. Amen. And boy, no doubt nobody liked her. And somebody said, that woman's going to hell. Well, there's no way that woman can get saved. That woman will never be born again. But oh, she was, though. She'll be in heaven. She went and told the men, said, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Amen. I tell you right now, there's some pretty wicked people. Old Zacchaeus, he's a cheating everybody. And Zacchaeus stopped, and the Lord stopped right under Zacchaeus' tree. And boy, if you allow the Holy Ghost, he'll stop right under your tree. Yes, man's depraved, but man's got a way out. Then they teach this. That doctrine teaches this. Unconditional election. There's not a verse in this Bible that will uphold unconditional election. I want you to understand that. Romans 10:13 blows that out of the water. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God said anybody. Anybody. You can look, as I told you at the beginning of the message, the darkest parts of Africa and the jungles. Amen. If a man does not understand what God is among heathenism, he can look up and know there's a God in heaven and God will give him light. You say, I don't believe that. It's in your Bible. My friend, there's no such thing as unconditional election. Amen. You're not going to find that in the Bible anywhere, that God elected somebody to go to heaven and somebody to go to hell. Now, you can take some verses. You can twist them. By the way, you say, well, what about Pharaoh? You know, I know God said, for this purpose have I raised thee up. But have you ever thought Pharaoh had a chance to get saved too? Do you remember Pharaoh had many chances to be saved? But do you remember when the frogs came on the land, the plague of the frogs? And Moses went in there and he said, I'll get these frogs away from you. And Pharaoh said, get them away. He said, entreat the Lord for me. And Moses said, when? Moses asked him a question. You see, Jesus asked a lot of questions in the New Testament. Moses asked a question, when? And he said, tomorrow. Tomorrow. I know some men in the Bible said, you know, Felix in the Bible said he trembled. And the Bible said he said, at a more convenient season, he's in hell today. And Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Well, almost didn't get him there, did it? My friend, let me tell you something. God has appeared to everybody. There'll not be a man in hell. There'll not be a man, woman, boy, or girl in hell. Now, I believe there'll be some young people. Now, I'm not talking about babies. But if I'd have went to hell at 11 years old, if I'd have died, I'd have went to hell because I heard the truth. I believe there'll be some young people in hell that know the truth. Amen. I know this ain't popular. I know this ain't smooth. I know this ain't eloquent. I know this ain't, it wouldn't pass some kind of exam somewhere in a school. But I'm not in it for that. I'm telling you the truth. And the truth is that everybody, anybody can be saved. The truth is the man in the gutter, the man in the mire, the woman, the man in prison, the man can be saved. Anybody, you may be sitting out there and you say, well, some of my family told me I couldn't be saved. Don't listen to them, listen to God. You say, well, my wife told me I couldn't be saved. My husband told me I couldn't be saved. Well, don't listen to them, listen to God. What does God say about it, friend? Amen. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You can be saved. Then I'm going to give you this one. The third thing is this, that some teach limited atonement. That Jesus just died for a selective few. Well, that is not true according to the Word of God. Now, here's the verse that I started to get to early in the devil loves to make you jump the tracks. But I want to get to this verse and put it in its proper order, John 1:29. John's walking along one day, and John the Baptist points out to John and another disciple. He says this, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. World. Taketh away the sin of the world. What sin? Whose sin? The world's sin. Mankind's sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for every sin that had been, was being, and would be committed. Ever. He died for all sin. Now, in the Old Testament, the blood of animals covered sin. In the New Testament, the blood of Jesus Christ takes sin away. You see, my sins are not covered now. In the New Testament, they're not covered. My sins are taken away. I know we sing songs of that nature and all that, but I'm just saying to you, proper Bible interpretation is my sins are done away. They're dissolved. You can't find them anywhere. Amen. They're gone. And so God died for everybody. Amen. I'm going to read the verse again. I want to read this verse again. I want you to get this verse. I want you to understand that Jesus died. There's not a limited atonement. No, sir. No, sir. Jesus would be unjust if he died just for a few. By the way, he wouldn't have went to Calvary for just a few. Remember, keep in mind John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then John 1:29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Not the sin of some, not the sin of those who are selected to go to heaven, but the sin of the world, you see. Now, let me give you another verse in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 55. This is talking about the death of Christ. I'm sorry, Isaiah 53. This is talking about the death of Christ. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man to his own way. That's talking about man when he's born. Amen. And the Lord, that word is capital in the Bible, Jehovah God, the Lord, God the Father, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of a few of us. No, sir. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of the ones that's elected. No, sir. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Of us all. Let's read the verse again. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray, and have turned every man to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus died for all. When he died on Calvary's cross, he died for every man. There's not a man in hell that Jesus did not die for. Jesus would be unjust had he not. Jesus made a way that everybody can go to heaven. There's people listening to me right now. And you will not choose God. You will die in your sins, and you will go to hell, and you'll be brought out to the white throne judgment, and you will be cast into the lake of fire because you simply will not trust God. There are those, hopefully, that will listen to me preach and other men preach and turn to Jesus Christ and accept Him and cry out to Him and get saved. Amen. Now let's read another verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you know that the Lord's will is not that any should perish? The Lord's will, listen to me, the will of God is not that anybody go to hell. I want to tell you this. We studied this in our doctrine on hell. Hell is not prepared for the sinner. You see, if you die lost, you're going to a place that was not prepared for you. Now, I have a place. Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. You see, I'm going to a prepared place because I'm a prepared people. I've been saved by the grace of God. But if you're lost and you die lost and you go to hell, you're not going to have a party down there. Hell is not even prepared for you. Hell don't want you there. Hell was not created for you there. you see. And Jesus died for all. God's not willing that any should perish. There's not a person in hell that God wanted them to be there. But now, wait a minute. When you reject God and you say no to God, as Esau did, as Pharaoh did, as Felix did, as Agrippa did, when you say no to God, then God will put you in hell. God will see to it that you go to hell. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. God will cast you in the lake of fire at the final judgment. God will. You say, I have a different God. Well, the sad part is your God's not going to be the one judging you. The God of creation, the God of eternity, the God of the Bible, the God of the church, He's the one that's going to be judging every sinner. It's going to be a fearful thing at the white throne judgment. The heaven and the earth is going to run from God on that day. And you think you're going to stand before God? No, my friends, you're not going to stand before God. God died. God made a way for everybody. God made a way for every man that's ever lived. I heard about a man years ago. This was long about the time my mama got saved, 50 years ago. And some men in my church later told me about this. They said that young man was about 16 years old, and this was long about the time my mama got saved. We had some great soul winners in our town that believed in getting people saved. Boy, there's witnessing. And they said we went to this young man, 16-year-old, said them boys had been out with him, and they'd had done this, and then and some of those boys had gotten saved, and they were a little bit older, and they got in church. But they went back and witnessed this boy, and he would not get saved. And one night he had an automobile accident and he went out to meet God 50 years ago. I think about another young man. I grew up in our town. I think about him. He died, no doubt, probably drunk. He got disappointed one night in some things that happened. And as somebody let him down, he went out and ran his car all through. Now, I remember as a little boy, 40-some years ago, I remember this. A little boy one Saturday morning. I remember going, looking at the spot where this young man had wrecked his car. And I remember seeing that car the best of my memory. I remember seeing that car, and I'll tell you what, that car, it was a sight to see. And let me tell you something, there's been a many people have went out to meet God unprepared. They say, I love my liquor, preacher. I love my immorality. I love the immoral sexual relationship. I love the dope. I can't give it up. One day you'll go to hell without God. But I promise you, when you get to hell without God, Jesus will remind you at the white throne judgment, He died for everybody. Now, there's another thing that is taught in this tulip theology, and this is the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard in my life. It's called irresistible grace. In other words, that you can't get away from God if you wanted to. Well, friend, I can tell you men in the Bible that got away from God. Not because God, and only because God allowed them to. Now, God could have made us robots from the beginning of time. God could have said, Ricky, you're going to heaven. There had been nothing I could have done to change that. But God didn't make us that way. Every man, every woman's been born with a choice. And let me tell you, my friend, even Felix, he died, he had a choice. Agrippa had a choice. Pharaoh had a choice. My friend Esau had a choice. Amen. In Acts chapter number 9, verse 5, we get a little insight of the convicting of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must be convicting a sinner. You say, well, preacher, how does that work? If you're listening to me right now and you feel the need to be saved, that's the Holy Spirit of God telling you need to be saved, all right? But let me give you Acts chapter 9 on the Damascus road. This is the Apostle Paul. The Bible said, and he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Notice the wording of the last part of that verse of Acts 9:5. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Not impossible. It's hard. Now that this doctrine teaches, that God's going to just, if He has to, He'll throw you down the floor and save you. God's never done that to anybody. God's never come on anybody with overwhelming power and you couldn't resist Him. And God's never done that to anybody. It is a free choice all the way through the Bible. If you study your Bible, now if you study what man teaches and you study man's books, you may get tripped up. But if you study this Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find it is a choice. You'll find that Jesus gives every man a choice. Amen. Elijah told the people of Israel, How long halt ye between two opinions? Amen. Joshua said, Choose you this day who you will serve. Amen. Jesus, my friend, even Moses said, Who is on the Lord's side among you? And even Jesus Christ, amen, He allowed people to make a choice. Not all people that heard Jesus got saved. You think all those people that he fed with the fishes and the loaves got saved? No, sir. No, sir. There were multitudes that went away lost. Remember, one week they were letting him ride on a colt, and they're spreading their garments in the way. And the next week they're crucifying him because the crowd got stirred against him. Some of those same people that spread those garments in the way were some of the same people crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." You see, God allowed them to make a choice. Now, the last thing I want to give you in that doctrine is they teach the perseverance of the saints. Nowhere in the Bible, we've already covered this. We've already covered this in another message. But you do not endure to be saved. Once you accept Jesus Christ, it is nothing that you do. You say, "Preacher, I got to live it. I saw a man." I never forget this, in Jonesville, North Carolina, many years ago. I was pastoring a little church, and I knocked on the door. I've knocked on doors in every church I've ever pastored. I've knocked on doors, tried to get people to come to the Lord, tried to get people to come to church, and I witnessed to a man. And I'll never forget it. One Saturday afternoon, this man said to me, "Preacher, I'd get saved, but I can't live it." And I tried to explain to him that nobody can live it. You don't have to live it. Oh, you're sitting there, "Preacher, you believe one of them, you believe you can just get saved and do anything you want to." No, no, no. You're wrongly dividing the Bible. I believe in the chastening hand of God. If you've ever been chastened by God, you know He's right there to correct you. But this man would not get saved. This man could have been saved. He could have been saved. He could have made the choice to get saved. But the devil had put in his mind he could not live. See, the devil is the author of false doctrine. The devil is the author of confusion. The devil loves to bring confusion even in the Baptist church. The devil loves to confuse communities. Be careful what you tell somebody about going to heaven. Our pastor tells a story about how he dealt with a woman to be saved. And the woman said, "I can't be." And the pastor said, "Who told you?" And she said, "My brother told me I couldn't be saved." Listen, friend, that's hogwash. I want you to understand, listen, somebody might have told you that, but you can be saved. For whosoever will. Amen. For whosoever will. You can be saved. Nowhere in the Bible do we endure for our salvation. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." And that not of yourselves. You said, "Preacher, what if I get drunk?" And that not of yourselves. What if I fuss somebody? And that not of yourselves. I just wonder which sin will send you to hell. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you believe that you've got to keep yourself saved, then you're working your way to heaven. Amen. I want to close with this verses. John 10:28. The Bible says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all." Thank God that He is greater than all. Amen. And the Bible says, "And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad that nobody can pluck you out of God's hand today? Once you're saved, you're saved. Amen. The devil loves false doctrine. I'm going to tell you why he does. The devil loves false doctrine because what happens with false doctrine is this. The devil can confuse a whole society with false doctrine. Amen. And I want to say today, my friend, that you listen to me, that the devil loves confusion. The devil loves it. The devil loves these false doctrines. The devil loves to keep people from getting saved. I want to ask you a question. And I want to leave you with something as we close the message. If "for whosoever will" is not right, why is it fought against so much? Why is there so much doctrine against it? You see, the things that are fought against must be real. The Bible, the King James Bible, is so fought against. That makes it real to me. The local church is so fought against. Fundamentalism is so fought against. It just makes it more real to me. Amen. If it wasn't fought against, why would it be real? Now, I'm going to close again with my text verse, Titus 2:11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Are you saved today? If not, "for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Bow your head right where you are and ask God to save you. Father, thank you for helping me preach this, a most difficult sermon. But thank you for letting me get through it. And I hope it's a blessing to many people. I want you to know, I want these people to know that I love them. But I also want them to know that you told me to preach this. Have your will your way. In Jesus' wonderful and holy name, I pray this prayer. Amen.